chapter 5. I'm just going to use this verse as a springboard. This is our last message tonight in the series of planning ahead. We'll be starting a new little series next week, ready for Christmas. It's December. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in December. Sophie is so excited. It's unbelievable. Sophie, have you put your Christmas tree up yet? Yeah, months ago, I expect. I can't say anything. We had to put ours up this week before the ladies' retreat. Joe wouldn't trust me and Eve to do it on our own. No trust there at all. Shocking. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and this time together, Lord. We thank you for being able to sing praises unto thee. And Father, we pray that as we gather around your word tonight, as we look at the various planning we ought to do spiritually, Lord, and we try and understand what your will is for our lives, Father, and I pray that you would just speak to our hearts in such a clear way. Father, you know each person that's coming through these doors tonight. You know, Lord, those who are lost and need salvation. You know those who are hurting and need a touch from you. You know those who are struggling and need your guidance. Those who are weak and need your strength. Those, Lord, who are struggling and at their wits' ends and just need to feel a sense of your peace and your presence in their lives. Father, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us tonight, Lord. Help us to understand what your will is for our lives. Father, your specific will and your general will for each and every one of us. And Father, we'd be ever mindful to give you the glory for it. Father, we love you and we praise you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, whenever we are planning for anything, I don't know about you, but Jo is a list writer. She will write list after list after list. The amount of things we've had to cross off our list in these last few months has been incredible. But I don't know if anybody here are list writers. Okay, how many of you ever do this? You've got your list. You know everything you want to go through and you've forgotten something on the list. But you do it and then you go back and you write it on the list just so you can cross it off. Everybody who's a list writer is going, yes, we've done that. And the thing is, when we're planning anything, you know, if we're planning, I know we've had lots of weddings this year, so there's been lots of people who've been planning for weddings, so there's been lists and lists and lists, and you're planning for every detail. For those who've moved and you've come overseas to study, I'm sure you had lists and lists and lists to plan of, you know, what we need to bring and where we need to stay and how to get it. And, you know, when we are planning things, we have an idea of what we want to achieve. We have an idea of where we want to be. We have an idea of what we are aiming for. Why then, when it comes to spiritual matters, do we stumble around in the dark and have no idea of what we're aiming for? You know, we write lists and we plan for months and months and even years for some things. And we plan for those physical things, but yet we kind of, I don't know. It's almost as if we make it up as we go along when it comes to spiritual matters. And we ought to have a plan. And we've seen how to plan for the church. And we've seen how to plan for the future. And we've seen how to plan for our problems. So why then do we not plan for God's will to be done in our lives? And lots of people think that this is some kind of mysterious teaching. Oh, we don't talk about God's will because that's just for the super saint. And that's nonsense, because God has a will for each and every person. Every child of God, he has a will for. Somebody said this, and I don't remember who said it or where I read it this week, but it was the definition of success is finding the will of God as early in life as possible and staying there for the rest of your life. Pastor Ed used to say that the greatest discovery after becoming a Christian is finding the will of God. The greatest place to be is in the center of God's will. And that's it, isn't it? We want God's will to be done in our lives each and every day. And the most important factor in finding God's will, you know, we can't expect to hear from God and what he wants us to do if we don't spend time in his word. I've got to be careful now, because Joe is listening. But if she said, look, we got all of this stuff to do now, and we've planned, and I've got all of this list to go through. And I was like, yeah, no problem, you know, we can sort that out. And I didn't look at the list, and I wasn't interested in getting anything crossed off the list. Can I say this to you? That would not be a pleasant home to live in. But because I love her, unconditionally, faults and all, of which there are many, on my part, I didn't know where I was going. Anyway, because I love her, I want to know what she wants achieved in our planning. So I go to the list. And then if there's anything I can cross off the list, I cross off. If there's anything I can do that's a help, I'll make sure I do it. My point is this. God has given us a list. And he said, right, this is my will for you. But we're not interested in looking at the list. We're not interested going through saying, right, what is it that I can do? We expect sometimes to just stand back and say, right, God, do your stuff. And he's like, well, you just need to come to the word and I can show you what my will is for your life. But we're not spending enough time in his word to find out what it is that God wants us to do. The Bible tells us clearly that God's will is definite. God has a definite will for our lives. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a will for each and every one of us. God has a will for every life. You know, God just doesn't have a plan or a will for preachers and says, right, you know, that's just for them. Or he doesn't just have a will for those called to the mission field or those who are serving in the church. God has a will for every single one of us. Every single child of God, he has a specific will for your life. So what is God's will for you? What does God want you to do? You know, oftentimes, you know, we make so many decisions and we don't even consult this word of God. We don't even consult the Lord. We just decide what we think is best for us and we don't pray about it. We don't seek God's face. We don't turn to God's word. We just get on with it. And sometimes find ourselves in trouble, find ourselves in a difficult spot because of our own doing. God knows our strengths. God knows our weaknesses. He knows what we can do and what we can't do. He knows our innermost longings. He knows our desires. He knows our deepest fears. And guess what? No one is more qualified to guide us. No one is more qualified to direct us. You know, it's amazing sometimes when if somebody comes to speak to you, they kind of want the answer. And guess what? I haven't got all the answers. I can pray with you and try and help you and see what the scripture says about a certain situation. But sometimes people want you to say, this is what you need to do. I'm afraid to do that. Because if I say to somebody, well, this is the direction you need to go in and this is what you need to do. Guess what? When that goes pear-shaped, that person turns around and says, well, you said. You know, the amount of times I'd get into trouble in school because somebody would dare you to do something. How childish is that? The childish thing is not going through with the dare. The childish thing is the person who dared you in the first place. Because if they didn't dare you in the first place, you wouldn't have gone through with it. So I've been told. And the amount of times I'd come home, I'd be in trouble, I'd have done something stupid, and mum and dad would say, what? What were you thinking? Well, I wasn't. So-and-so told me to do it. And then you have the Parent Handbook 101. If they told you to put your hand in the fire, would you? Well, it depends if it was a double day. Because if it was a double day, I'd have to. You know, we follow people. You know, if somebody's influential, we'll follow them, no questions. And God is the only one who's qualified to direct us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct our lives. Why is it that we're willing to listen to so many other voices in our lives and do what they tell us to do without even thinking about it, but yet we're not willing to listen to what God, who created us, who knows every single thing about us, knows every hair upon our head, knows our innermost thoughts, knows our innermost feelings, knows our frailties, our weaknesses, our failings, our hurts, our disease. He knows everything about us. He's the one qualified to direct our steps. He's the one qualified to lead us. He doesn't want us to go through life with confusion. He doesn't want us to go through life with uncertainty. He wants to know where we are, why we're here, where we're headed. He wants us to know his will. I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will. How can God guide us? You know, you'd say, well, how can he guide us with his eye? And we've talked about this before. You know, we've talked about men having to learn certain looks from their wives. You know, there's certain looks mean certain things, and at certain points in time, when they look at you in a certain way, you know you're in trouble. And that's a look you need to be careful of. Well, God does the same thing. You remember when Peter was warming his hands by the devil's fire? The Lord had told him that Peter was going to betray him 3 times before the cock crew, and he was going to betray him. No, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. And he's at the fire. He denies the Lord. On the third occasion, he actually curses. The cockerel crows, and the Lord looks at Peter. That's how close Peter was to the Lord. The Lord looks at Peter, and Peter is absolutely broken. Just one look from the Lord, and he can guide us with his eye. That's all it took. The Lord didn't speak to Peter. He simply guided him. And you can almost imagine, you know, that one look. The Lord is just saying with his eyes, remember Peter, remember our conversation just a few hours ago. Remember what I said. Remember what I said you would do. Satan has decided to have you, but I've prayed for you. Peter, you're in the wrong place. You need to move. And the scripture says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. If God's going to guide us with his eye, and guess what? We need to stay close to the Lord so we can see him. We need to be close enough to him. You know, when we're going in the wrong direction, then he can give us the look. You know, as parents, we do it all the time, especially in public. When our child starts to go a little bit wayward, you don't want to make a scene in public. Some of us are more reserved than others. We don't want to shout in public and, you know, chastise our child in public. So we'll just do the look. Just one look. But the child's got to be close enough. You can't do that look if they're at the other end of the shop. That's when you've got to shout. But you can guide them with a look if they're close enough. The Lord is able to guide us and make it plain what his will is for our lives. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race, what, that is set before us. God has a will for each and every one of us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and to good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. God has a will for our lives. He has a will for our walk. His will, if he has a will for our lives, then guess what? He's going to help us find that will. And he's going to help us be in the center of that will. And he's going to help us stay in that will. If God wants us to do something, if God commands us to do something, then guess what? He's going to give us the ability to do it. He's not going to ask us to do something that is completely and utterly impossible. Because that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be a fair God. That wouldn't be a just God. God has a will for our lives. Paul is not talking about an impersonal fate that controls our life, and no matter what we do, you know, it's just one of those things. He's talking about the gracious will of a loving heavenly Father. God has a definite will for us. But guess what? God's will is knowable. We can know what God's will is for our lives. We read our verse earlier, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It says, be not unwise. The Greek word for unwise is aphrone, and it is a definition which means mindless or stupid. Paul is actually saying to the church, I'd love to be Paul. Paul is saying to the church, don't be stupid. Can you imagine if I come out and that was my opening line? Okay, church, don't be stupid. You'd be like, oh, right, thanks for that. That's nice. But that's what Paul is saying. Be not unwise. Don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Don't be egotistic. Don't be rash. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. Know what God's will is for your life. John Phillips said this, surely it is the height of stupidity to have in one's hand the very word of the living God, inbreathed by the omniscient, all-wise creator of the universe, and neglect to read it, neglect to study it, neglect to memorize it, and neglect to obey it. There is no wiser, nor knowledgeable being in the universe than God himself, author of the Bible. There is no more patient teacher than that of the Holy Spirit. There is no greater book than the Word of God itself. There is no greater privilege than this side of heaven to have a copy of this Word in our very hands. God breathed, authored by the Lord himself. Yet we often let it gather dust. It's often neglected. No wonder the Holy Spirit says, don't be unwise. Don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand, you suggest that we use our minds to discover what the will of God is. Many Christians have the idea that discovering God's will is something mystical, magical, something unobtainable. But Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is. There's nothing mystical or magical about it. Understand it. Understand what it is. When we discover the will of God, guess what? He'll transform the mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God got a general will for your lives. His will for your life is to be a living sacrifice. To be all out for the Lord. 100%. This transformation is only possible by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. And that's why Paul tells us to be careful about the mind. That's why he tells us to protect the mind. That's why he tells us to tear down those strongholds of the mind. When we read the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, feed on the Word of God, when we worship the Lord through reading the Word of God, guess what? Our minds will be transformed. We won't be conformed to this world. We'll be transformed. Our minds will be renewed. God doesn't want us to simply know his will. He wants us to understand his will. He wants us to discover that will. If God has saved us, he's got a purpose for us. You know, he's not just saved us and then said, right, off you go, get on with it. That's why he's given us this word. He wants us to know what his will is. The only way he reveals his will to us is through his word. We can walk carefully and accurately when we're in the Word of God, because we know the direction that God wants us to go in. We know what it is that he wants us to do. It's like we're getting ready to start the building now next spring. We've got all the plans drawn up. What happens then if the builder turns up and says, oh, don't worry about them, we'll We wing it. Imagine what type of building we'd have. It is, well, I tell you, looking at these, we're going to put them up eventually. We're going to have them up on the walls. And when you look at the plans, you're like, okay. Because there's figures and there's numbers and there's arrows and there's different shaded lines. And it's mad. You think, wow, that's just incredible. But the builder's going to follow that blueprint. Because everything has been calculated so specifically that if the bottom bit is wrong, by the time they get to the top bit, it's going to be miles out. So it's got to be followed. They've got to follow the blueprint. You know, the amount of times you come to do a flat pack from IKEA, men being men, I don't need the instructions. Give it, yeah. And then you got bits left over and you wonder why the drawer won't open properly, and then you realise you put it in upside down. And you wondered why all your clothes kept falling out. So the drawer's upside down. But you've got to follow the blueprint. You follow the plans, follow the drawings. And it's the same with God's will for our lives. He's given us a blueprint. He's given us the plans. He's given us the drawings. But we've got to follow them to the letter. We can't turn around and say, oh yeah, okay, I like that bit and I'll follow that bit, but I don't like that bit, that's a bit convicting, so I won't follow that. We've got to follow the blueprint. We've got to follow the drawing. We've got to follow the plans. God's will is definite. He's got a definite plan for our lives. God's will is knowable. If we study the word of God, God will reveal what his will is for us. But here's the thing. Not only is it definite and knowable, God's will is continuous. It's not a hokey-cokey will. It's not like, oh, this is his will for me now, and then this is not his will, and then this is his will, and then I'm in. It's continuous. God's will for our lives is continuous. The Lord shall guide thee continually, Isaiah says. And steadfastly, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. God's will is continuous. It doesn't begin when we reach a certain age. It doesn't, we don't get to the point where we say, all right, okay, now we're this old, we can kind of carry on and get on with God's will. God's will starts from the moment we are saved. God has a will for children. God has a will for young people. God has a will for adults, for old, more mature people. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. He guided the apostles just as the Lord said he would. The Spirit of God came to these men, guided them in truth, both in their preaching and in their writing. God's will is continuous. But not only that, God's will is specific. God's will is definite. It's knowable. It's continuous. But it's specific. God has a specific will for us. Isaiah 30:21 says, all thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. In order to be in the will of God, we have to find the will of God. We have to know the will of God. And the only way to find and know God's will is his way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. What does it mean to trust God entirely? What does it mean to trust God completely? Do we acknowledge his lordship in every area of our lives? Do we acknowledge him as Lord of our lives? I've heard one preacher say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You know, we can't pick and choose what part of our lives the Lord has. Do we trust him entirely? 100%. I wonder if the reason a lot of people are unsure what God's will is for their life is because, from a spiritual point of view, they are not ready to receive it. And that's why we need the plan. This needs to be part of our spiritual planning. Right, what is God's will for my life? What is it that he wants me to do? How do I find it? How do I go about discovering God's will? Well, I need to be in God's word. I need to be praying about it. I need to be studying. I need to be seeking. I need to be asking. I need to simply trust in the Lord that he'll reveal his will to me. He's told me clearly that I have to understand what his will is. Why would he tell me to understand what his will is for my life and then not be willing to reveal it to me? The first step in finding the will of God is simply trusting him with all our heart. Trusting him that he knows what he's doing, that he knows what we need in our lives. To trust the Lord with all our heart means to acknowledge him as Lord of every area of our life. This is what George Muller said, that we ascertain the will of God on a daily basis. He said this: I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. Having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If so, I make myself liable to great delusions. I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, he will do it according to the Scripture and never contrary to them. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with his Word and Spirit. I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me aright. Thus, through prayer to God, the study of the Word and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. In trivial matters and in transactions involving most important issues, I have found this method always effective. Christ taught us that knowing God's will and living in obedience to that will is the key to everything. God is the potter. We are the clay. All we need to do is be willing to stay on the wheel. You know, we have no say in the shape that God fashions this vessel. But we want to have a hand in it, don't we? We want to be the ones who determine what type of vessel we are. But all we need to do is simply rely upon the hands of the potter himself and allow him to guide us, allow him to shape us, allow him to direct us. The shape of the person next to you is nothing to go by. Don't judge your success in terms of your spiritual walk with the Lord based on the person sat next to you, because they got no bearing on your spiritual walk whatsoever. You concentrate on you. Oh yeah, well, so-and-so's doing this. It doesn't matter. God has not called you to judge your walk by them. God has simply called you to understand what God's will is for your life. Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us to tell everyone what God's will is for their life? But we find it most difficult to discover what God's will is for our life. Just as God keeps us spinning on the potter's wheel, shaping us and reshaping us, he's just conforming us into the image of his Son. Why? So he can use us for his will. All we need to do is be surrendered to him. We don't have to understand everything. You know, we can plan and plan and plan, but until the actual day, we don't know how things are going to turn out. And that's all we can do when it comes to spiritual planning. But I'm thankful that the person I trust in has far more chance of making things work out even than all of Joe's lists. And she's got countless lists. But God's lists are perfect. Do you know what God's will is for your life? I understand he's got a general will. God's general will is that we study his word. God's general will is that we pray. His general will is that we are in his house, you know, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. His general will is that we witness to people. His general will is that we walk in his ways. His general will for our lives is we live in obedience to him. But what's his specific will for your life? What is it that he wants you to do? Where is it that he wants you to be? I can tell you this, God's will is that every single person comes to know Christ as their Savior. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why you went to the cross. One sin will keep you out of heaven. You might say, oh, well, that's a cruel God to send anybody to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to go to hell by rejecting Christ as their Savior. God has paid. Imagine this. If somebody turned around to you and said, you know what? I'm going to pay your mortgage off. Or I'm going to pay your student loan off. Or I'm going to pay your credit card bills off. And you turn around and said, sounds too good to be true. No, thank you. It's not for me. I don't trust in that nonsense. I can't see your money, so I don't believe it. No, thank you. Turning down something financially rewarding like that. God has offered to clear our slate in terms of sin. He's offered to pay our debt. That's what tetelestai meant on the cross when Christ said it is finished. The Greek word tetelestai, it means a debt has been paid in full. A perfect sacrifice has been found. And all debts are cleared. All a person has to do is receive it and accept it. God's will is that we come to know Christ as our Savior. God's not willing that any should perish. But do you know him as your Savior? If you were to die right now, tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you've accepted Christ, you'll spend an eternity in heaven. If you've rejected Christ, you'll spend an eternity in a place called hell. A place of torment. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants you to be in heaven with him. That's why Christ died upon the cross. God's will is that people come to know Christ as their Savior. If you know him as your Savior, what does God want you to do? Only you and the Lord can answer that, because God's will for your life is different for God's will for my life and for the person sat next to you. And what is God's will for your life? Think about it. God's will for Abraham was different to God's will for Moses. God told Abraham to leave Ur and he would show him where to go. God's will for Moses was to lead Israel out of Egypt and then spend, you know, 40 years in Egypt, spend 40 years in I love what this one preacher said. He said, Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody, the next 40 years learning that he was nobody, and then the last 40 years finding out that God could take a nobody and make them somebody by God's grace. God's will for your life is different from the person who sits next to you. But only you can find out what his will is for you. Study the word, seek his face, pray, and ask him to reveal what his will is for your life. I wonder how much effort we put in to our spiritual planning. We plan for so many things in life. But spiritually, perhaps we just kind of wing it and see what happens. God doesn't want us to wing it. God wants us to know what his will is for our lives. But that's up to you to find out. Nobody else can tell you what God's will is for you. Pray, seek God's face. And if he's asked us to do something, I can promise you this, he'll help us achieve it, because that is part of his will for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and this time together, Lord. We thank you for the privilege we have to be able to come around your word. Father, I just ask that you would help us as your children to know and understand what your will is for each and every one of us, Lord. Father, if there's one here tonight who has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts even now, Lord. I pray that they would be convicted of their sins and recognize the fact that Christ died for them, and that they can have forgiveness of sins and they can have a promise home in heaven if they confess their sins and believe that Christ died for them and call upon your name. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand what your will is for our lives. And as we come to, Lord, to plan for the future in terms of our lives spiritually, that you would help us, Lord, to plan for our church, plan for our problems, plan for our future, plan for your will to be done in our lives. And we'll be mindful to give you the glory for it. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. Oh, happy day. And we stand as we sing.
Andrew Davis will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Andrew.